John's Gospel, chapter 11. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for His help today. Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently in Thy presence. This Lord's Day, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word that we have read. And we just pray now as we come to consider its content, that You would fill us with Thy gracious Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the teaching of the Scriptures of truth. And O God, we pray that You would teach us today. Lead us and guide us in Thy will. We pray, Lord, that You would help us just to say those things that will be pleasing to Thee. There's so much in this chapter. But, O God, we pray that You will direct our thoughts. We pray, Lord, that You would close us in with Yourself, that each and every one of us may hear Thy Word. And not only hear Thy Word, but do Thy Word. Help us to be doers as well as hearers. We pray, Lord, that You would come, Lord, and meet us all, therefore, at the very point of our need. O God, how we need that fresh touch from heaven. Come and bless us now. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. For a few moments at the end of our service this afternoon, I want to draw your attention to the subject, the sickness of Lazarus. In verse 3 of this chapter, we read these words. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I want you to underline those last words of the text. He whom thou lovest is sick. To say that this is a most remarkable chapter in the Bible, it would be an understatement. No other chapter in the New Testament, I believe, demonstrates Christ's divine power and deity more than John chapter 11. Here the God-man commands the grave to yield up its dead. And no sooner is the command given when Lazarus, who had been in the tomb for 4 days, arose and came forth. Men and women, the power of Christ is unlimited, because He is not only the Son of Man, but He is in truth the Son of God. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, when we view Christ, we must view Him as God manifest in the flesh. And we must never forget that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. However, John chapter 11 is not only remarkable because we have Christ's power demonstrated in a most unique way, but it is also remarkable because in this chapter we see Christ's compassion and sympathy towards His saints who are passing through times of trial in their lives. As perfect God, Christ can raise the dead. But as perfect man, Christ can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There's clear evidence in this chapter that Christ feels for His saints at all times, but especially at times of sickness and death. We learn this when we consider such phrases as are found in verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 35. Verse 3, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. In verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. All these verses point us to the sympathizing Jesus, one who has a deep love and concern for the burdens and trials that His saints have to pass through in their lives. We often sing that wonderful hymn, does Jesus care when my heart is pained? too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the day grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Saviour cares. Therefore, here in John chapter 11, not only do we see the power and deity of Christ, but we see his love and compassion towards his people who are sick and sorrowing. With this in mind, I want to draw your attention very simply today to the sickness of Lazarus and see what we can learn here from this incident. And I pray that it will be a blessing to all of our hearts, but especially to God's people who are passing through times of trial in their Christian life at this time. There are many in our congregation who are sick, many in our congregation who are laid aside at this time, going through times of trials in their Christian experience. I pray that the Lord will take his word, therefore, and apply it to their hearts especially. But I do believe that there's a message here for each and every one of us, even those of us who are in good health and strength. I pray that God's word will not be lost upon us this Lord's day, but that the Holy Spirit will take his word and write it upon every soul. The sickness of Lazarus. First of all, I want you to notice that God's saints are not immune to sickness. Lazarus of Bethany was one whom Jesus loved. I pray that those words will penetrate deep within our hearts. Lazarus was the brother of two well-known godly women, Mary and Martha, and Jesus loved them as well. Look again at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And yet the Bible tells us that Lazarus was sick even unto death. Our text in verse 3 says, "He whom thou lovest is sick." The one that Jesus loved was sick. You know, the Lord Jesus, who had power over all diseases, could have prevented Lazarus from becoming ill. And he could have prevented Lazarus from dying as well. But he did not do so. That's clearly evident when you study and read this passage of Scripture. The Savior permitted Lazarus to be sick. Now we're going to see in a few moments why the Lord permitted that to happen. But I just want you to notice here this simple truth, this simple point, that even the godliest of saints can get sick. Godly saints will and do get sick. The lesson ought to be deeply engraven upon our hearts and upon our minds. Because sooner or later, we are all going to have to remember it. Because sickness will come to the most godliest of saints. And even those of us who are in full health and strength, someday we will be sick. Seriously sick. And when that happens, I want you to remember these words. He whom thou lovest is sick. You see, just because we're sick, it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love us anymore. Just because we're sick, it doesn't mean that we have committed some great sin or some great crime. He whom thou lovest is sick. I want those words to penetrate into your heart this evening and into your soul. Was there ever a more godly man than Job? One who was perfect and upright. One who feared God and eschewed evil. And who sought to bring up his children in the things of God. Job loved the Lord and the Lord loved him. And yet this very man was inflicted with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. What physical pain Job suffered during his time of sickness upon earth. Take the time to read it again, refresh yourself of the story in Job chapter 1 especially, in Job chapter 2, and you will read there how Job loved the Lord and sought to walk in the ways of the Lord, and yet the day came when he was sick. And of course, there are many examples of godly saints in the Bible becoming sick. Just keep your hand in John chapter 11 for a moment and turn over to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel, of course, was a great and mighty man of God, one who loved the Lord with all his heart, and the Lord certainly loved Daniel. Daniel was faithful in proclaiming the word of the Lord, but look what it says about Daniel in chapter 8 and verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Here we have this godly and great man of God, and he becomes ill. He becomes sick. Another example can be found in the New Testament over in Philippians chapter 2. Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the church at Philippi, and as he writes to the church at Philippi, he tells them about Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2. Take a look with me there at verse 25. You'll read these words. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Here is a faithful laborer of the Lord, a brother in Christ, a companion of Paul, a fellow soldier, one that the Lord loved, one that the Lord indeed was using. And yet, look what we read in verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed, verse 27, he was sick, nigh unto death. Nigh unto death. Oh, the truth is simple. But it's a truth, I believe, that we all need to learn. Sometimes God's people feel that they should never be sick, or that they should never become sick. But that's certainly not the teaching of the Bible. Here we have a number of examples, and there are others, but they will suffice for now, where we can see clearly that the godliest of saints can get sick. And in John chapter 11, we read of one such man named Lazarus. A man that was saved, a man that was redeemed, a man that was a child of God, a man that loved the Lord, a man that the Lord loved. He whom thou lovest is sick. Now turn back again to John chapter 11 and look again with me at verse 3, because we learn something else here. Very simple truth, but I believe a very needful truth. When God's saints are sick, Christ is the one to call upon for help. Look what it says at the beginning. Therefore his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. We learn here that as soon as Lazarus fell sick, that the first thing that his sisters did was to inform the Lord. In other words, they laid the matter before Christ. They got in touch with the Savior. They did not ask the Savior to come at once. I'm sure you noticed that. They did not ask him to work a miracle or command the sickness to depart. They only said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And they left the matter there, knowing and believing that the Lord Jesus would do what was best. Mary and Martha put their faith in Christ, submitting themselves to the will of the Master. Now, we're going to say more about that in a moment. But The simple point I want you to see here is this, that as soon as Lazarus became ill, Mary and Martha told the Lord. They informed Christ. Child of God, we would do well to follow the example set before us in this passage of Scripture. No doubt, when we get sick, we must seek the help of earthly physicians. We need to obtain the best medical advice. And of course, when we get sick, we go to the doctor, and rightly so. However, we must never forget that the best physician is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Mary and Martha knew that Lazarus needed the Lord in his sickness. And of course, we need the Lord in our sickness. More than anyone else, we need his presence and we need his touch. And we need, therefore, to inform him and pray and seek his face. It's interesting when you study Job. When Job got sick, his first action was to kneel and worship. You ever notice that? When Hezekiah was sick, he spread the matter before the Lord. Again, keep your hand in John chapter 11 and turn over just for a moment to Isaiah chapter 36. Hezekiah, of course, was a godly man who loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him. Look what it says, but in verse 1 of Isaiah 38, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. So this godly man became very seriously ill. In fact, his illness was going to take his life. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So he received a message from God. You're going to die. So set your house in order. What if God was to say to you today, set your house in order, you're going to die? How would it be with your soul? My friend, if you're not saved in this meeting, it would not be well with your soul. If you knew tonight, today that you were going to die tonight, God said to you, listen, set your house in order. I wonder, would you set your house in order? The truth is that many would go on in their sin because you're continuing your sin even now. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, you could die at any day, at any time, any day. And you're still not setting your house in order. Oh, I would exhort you today to come and put your faith and trust in Christ. But here we have an example of a man of God, a child of God, one whom the Lord loved. He was sick. He was going to die. The Lord told him, you're going to die. But look at verse 2. Look what he does. He prays. He cries unto God. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Who says there's no power in prayer? Who says that God can't answer prayer? Who says that God can't heal the sick and raise the sick from a sick bed? Oh, I believe he can. I believe in the power of God. Now, it's not always God's will. And we must say that very definitely. But here we have an example in the Bible of a man who was sick, was going to die. And God told him, put your house in order. You're going to die. And he started to pray, and he started to cry unto God to have mercy upon him. God answered his prayer. God stopped him from dying. And God added unto his life 15 more years. Oh, there's power in prayer. Praise God, if I didn't believe that, friend, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit today. God answers prayer. And when Lazarus fell sick, his sister sent word to Jesus immediately. The truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the best friend the Christian has in time of need and in time of sickness. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Looking unto the Lord in time of sickness is a must for the child of God. And that's what we learn here, this simple truth in John chapter 11. Christians are not immune to sickness. He whom thou lovest is sick. But when the sickness comes, let us direct our prayer to the God of heaven, praying for his will to be done in our lives and crying unto him. There's no knowing what the Lord will do. There's no knowing what the Lord will do. There's no knowing how the Lord will touch. There's no knowing how the Lord will revive. Now, the power of God can be seen here very clearly. And of course, Mary and Martha, they recognized that only the Lord could help them in this situation. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. Turn back again to John chapter 11. And this is very, very important. I want you to notice, thirdly, that I want you to notice the wisdom of Christ in dealing with the sickness of his saints. Look with me there at verse 6. It says, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick," it's the Lord Jesus, "after he had heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Now, it's important for you to underline those words, for those are very important words in the context of this whole chapter. After the Savior heard that Lazarus was sick, the Bible tells us here that he waited 2 days before he began his journey to go to the place where Lazarus was. In fact, the Bible tells us that by the time Christ got to Bethany, that Lazarus was dead and his body had been in the tomb for 4 days. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, listen to this, permitted Lazarus to get sick, permitted Lazarus to suffer the pain of sickness, permitted Lazarus to suffer death, permitted Mary and Martha to go through the process of sorrowing for their brother before he even began his journey to Bethany. The Savior never moved, nor did he do anything until the time came which he saw was best. And that's the point I want to emphasize here. Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he did what was best for all concerned. Now, we can all say amen to that because we know the end of the story. It's very easy to have faith when you have the end of the story, men and women. But just pretend we don't have the end of the story. Just pretend all that we have is the first 6 verses. Then what would you think? Perhaps you would think, well, the Lord's very cruel here. Why did he wait? Why did he not go immediately? Why did he prolong waiting for 2 days? But you see, when we study the passage and when we read the rest of the account, we can see the wisdom of Christ in dealing with the sickness of Lazarus. Child of God, if there's a lesson that we need to learn, it is this lesson. God's way and God's will is always best, even if we don't understand it at the time. Christ could have stopped Lazarus from becoming sick, and he could have stopped Lazarus from dying. And of course, when you read the passage here, Mary and Martha were confused. Take a look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, this is after the Lord arrived at the home, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Look at verse 32. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But although Martha and Mary were confused, Christ was not confused. He had everything under control. The Savior had everything under control. He made no mistake, and he makes no mistakes when it comes to the providential dealings with his people. Even in our sicknesses, he is working out his will in our lives. That's the point I want you to see. And I believe that's the truth that the Holy Ghost wants us to see from this passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus was working everything out for the best, although the sisters could not see it. J.C. Ryle said this, nothing so helps us to bear patiently the trials of life as an abiding conviction of the perfect wisdom by which everything around us is managed. Now, can I read that again? Nothing so helps us to bear patiently the trials of life as an abiding conviction of the perfect wisdom by which everything around us is managed. J.C. Ryle was completely right. Everything around us is managed by God. Everything around us is controlled by God. Our lives are completely in His hands. Even the times of sickness that He would permit us to enter into. And of course, the Lord permits these things in our lives to bring glory and honor to His name. And we're going to see that in a moment. Therefore, child of God, sickness ought to draw our affections away from this world and direct them to things above. Sickness ought to send us to our Bibles and make us pray more. Sickness ought to not only teach us that our faith needs to be tested, but it needs also to teach us that our faith needs to be strengthened. It ought to give us patience and show us the real value of our hope in Christ. Oh, the blessing of sickness, if we could only see it more clearly. Even in our sickness, we can bring glory to God. And, of course, that's what happened here. When Lazarus was sick and died, the Lord's name and the Lord's cause was glorified. Look at verse 4 and compare it then with verse 38. Verse 4, first of all, Jesus said on... When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Do we ever look at our sickness as a glory to God? That's some statement there, you know. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now look at verse 38. Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Child of God, this passage of Scripture ought to teach us to trust Christ entirely with our lives. In the good days and in the bad days, in times of health and in times of sickness, let us say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because Christ knows best. We here can see in all these circumstances the wisdom of the Creator, the wisdom of the Redeemer, the wisdom of the Savior. And he knows best how to bring glory to his name through our lives, through our sicknesses, and even through our death. In the story of Lazarus' sickness, Jesus waited. Lazarus died, but Christ was glorified and the saints edified. Through it all, Christ can do the same with our lives if we are willing to leave our lives in his hands. You know, child of God, left to us, there are many pathways in life we would avoid if we could. And of course, the pathway of sickness is one of them. Let us always remember that Christ, our Savior, knows best. If Christians were allowed to choose their own course through life, we would avoid all the valleys of life. But then we would never learn the many lessons about Christ and his grace, which you can only learn in the valleys. You see, there are things that the Lord wants to teach us in the valley. We often sing that lovely hymn, my times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hand, why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear. My times are in thy hand, I'll always trust in thee, and after death, at thy right hand, I shall forever be. There's a lovely verse in the Bible, indeed, the words of Christ, when he says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Maybe at this time, dear child of God, the Lord is leading you in a path that is hard and difficult, and you cannot see the wisdom and purpose of it. Well, don't doubt the Lord. Keep trusting in him. At the end, he will be glorified and you will be edified. It was not until Jesus came that Mary and Martha saw the wisdom and purpose of Lazarus' sickness and death. And the truth is this, many of the sorrows and the sicknesses and the pain, the valleys that we pass through in life, we'll never know the full meaning of them until Jesus comes again. And until we go home to heaven and go home to glory. But know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ never stops loving us, and he never stops comforting us, and he never stops presencing himself with us. And even in the deepest valley, he will be there. Oh, I pray today that God's word would come and comfort and speak to all of our hearts, that we might in all our circumstances trust in him and rest upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. He whom thou lovest is sick.